We continue on with the Easter story today from John 20, 19 through 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
First thing right out of the box, this is something I struggle with. I am a tangible guy. I like to see things. I like to comprehend, hold on to, understand things. I don't understand the Holy Spirit. I can't see the Holy Spirit. And like Lucy, I would like to control the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't happen. When I was in seminary, I became fascinated. I'm a Scandinavian, in case the blonde hair, blue eyes, Swanson name didn't bring that to you. And I found out there was actually a Scandinavian theologian. One. His name was Soren Kierkegaard. And one of his famous stories is about the Holy Spirit. And he illustrates it in a story called The Duck Church. And in this story, he says, the ducks would come every week to Duck Church. They would waddle down the street, go down the sidewalk, waddle in the front door, waddle into the seats, and listen to stories about how the ducks could fly into the air and fly across the country. And they would quack and flap their wings. And they would celebrate this beautiful understanding of how powerful and strong ducks could be. And then they would waddle down the road, go back out the door, waddle down the sidewalk, and slip back into the pond. Soren Kierkegaard says, it sounds funny, but we human beings do it week after week after week. We slip in the door, we hear the stories of the power and the majesty of God, the moving of the Holy Spirit, people speaking in tongues, being touched by tongues of fire. We see people healed, we see people with their sight restored. We see things that amaze us and we say, oh, isn't that great? We're part of something that is so powerful and so strong. And then we slip back into our cars. We drive down the road. And we say, I really don't feel like cooking. Want to pick up something for lunch? And we slip right back into our lives as if nothing had actually happened. It's like we're slipping into The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And we say, well, you know, the live lion is scaring people. Maybe we could get a cute stuffed one instead. So people would feel more comfortable with it, and they would feel more comfortable approaching it, and they wouldn't be afraid. But that's not the way it works. It's almost like there's two worlds. The world that God lives in and the world that we live in. In case it hadn't been apparent to you yet, I'm a baseball junkie. I love baseball. I love everything about baseball. I love the fact that you never know when the game is going to end because there's no clock. I love everything about it. And there was a wonderful, wonderful movie called Field of Dreams. And it starred Kevin Costner and several other people. But Kevin Costner had to fight to have the movie made, and they didn't think it was going to be a very big deal, but there's something uniquely American about baseball. And there's something about baseball that changes the way people look at things. I was not a big fan of when they tore down Tiger Stadium to build the new Comerica Park. And people said, why? They have a shiny new Ford Field for the Lions. They've got a new place for the Pistons. They got a new place. I said, you don't understand. When this might be lost on some of you, but when there's a big basketball player and he really looks like he's going to be something, people don't say, oh, he's going to be the next George Mikan. No one knows who George Mikan is. When a football player starts hitting the line and knocking people down, and they say, oh my goodness, it's the next Bronco Nagurski. When they start playing hockey, and a guy knocks him into the boards and takes the puck and shoots, they go, oh, another Boom Boom Jeffron. But boy, if you see somebody hit a baseball, and at the crack of the bat it soars into the field, the name Babe Ruth will come up. Immediately. You know what those players have in common? They were the superstars of football, baseball, basketball, and football, and hockey at that time. We've forgotten the other three. But in baseball, there's something about it that resonates historically with us. And Field of Dreams took off. And Kevin Costner takes his tractor, cuts a baseball field out of his cornfield. He cuts down his crop before he can take it to market, and everybody thinks the man is nuts. He says, why did you do it? He says, I don't know. And he tells his family and a couple close friends, he says, they keep saying, if I build it, they will come. Baseball players from yesteryear come and they play on this field. Shoeless Joe Jackson, Honus Wagner, all the superstars from the past. But nobody can see them initially. It's just Kevin Costner. And Kevin Costner, to everybody else's eyes, is crazy. They think he's nuts. I take you to another story. There's a man living in the desert. He starts pulling together all the gopher wood he can, and he starts building this big boat in the middle of the desert. And people just keep saying, Noah, are you nuts? What are you doing? He says, God told me to build a boat. And they said, oh my God, Noah's lost it. He's as crazy as a loon. Until it started to rain. Then Noah started looking really smart. See, when we're in this world, we lose sight of God. When we have sight of God, we lose sight of some of the world. If you are going to embrace the world of God, you're going to look a little strange to the rest of the world. I listened to a commencement address yesterday at Calvin University. I said, I got it right. Calvin University. Yeah. And he said, we have to be different in that instead of looking for who's at fault and someone to blame, we have to be looking for the solution instead. How can we address the problem? People, we do that, we're going to stand out. Because they're going to say, what do you mean you don't care who's to blame? What do you mean you don't care whose fault it is? What does it mean that you want to just address the problem and work together? Folks, if we blend in, we're not making a difference. We're not salt and light. We don't have the fire of the Holy Spirit in us. If we have the fire of the Holy Spirit in us, we're going to stand out and we're going to be different. And it's something that I want you to think long and hard about. Because I think too often we have domesticated the lion. We have taken God and made him safe. C.S. Lewis said, when God becomes convenient, our faith is lost. Our faith can't be a glass case in the back that says, in case of emergency, break in. Because you can't keep your faith and your Holy Spirit tied up in the back. It's got to be allowed to run through you and in you. It's got to be allowed to change you. So what I think I want to close with is this idea. It cost Kevin Costner to plow his crop under and make that field. He had to invest in the dream for the dream to come true. Are you willing to invest in the dream? Are you willing to let the Holy Spirit lead you in a direction that you might not want to go to make the dream come true? You need to invest in the dream today. Let us pray. Gracious and generous God, help us to understand that even as much as you've given, you want to give more. But we have to allow you to work and to run and to flow in a way that we can no longer control. And that if we invest ourselves, if we allow ourselves to be taken and used, the blessings will be even greater.